Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is yours truly, Michael Savage. On the very day that the mastermind of the Pan Am bombing over Lockerbie, Scotland, was released to a hero's welcome in Libya, the very same day that the same left-wing radical labor government under Gordon Brown decided to release the man who killed hundreds to his home in Libya, where he arrived to a hero's welcome, the very same government that released the Lockerbie bomber for compassionate reasons has denied Michael Savage his freedom of movement and his freedom of speech. Now, I want to pause right here. You've heard it all before. You haven't heard it all before. In a world of hype and in a world of hype artists, it's very difficult for the average listener to know what's true, what's false, what's real, what they should be concerned about. I recognize that. But what if there really is such a case of an innocent man being targeted by an illegitimate government strictly to placate the radical Muslims in that nation out of fear that the radical Muslims will know that they've been, namely, picked on for good reasons, because you've got people there marching around screaming death to Britain, death to the USA, overthrow Britain, blah, 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 we will kill you, we'll do this. You've seen the signs, you've heard it. So the British government is afraid of them, as they should be. But in order to balance this list of excluded individuals, they choose a white man, a conservative from America who has a radio show, in order to balance the list. Now, you would say, well, they have a right to do it. No, my friends, they don't have the right to do it. Don't jump to the conclusion that a nation has the right to exclude somebody simply on the basis of speech. And if this government was so concerned with their fine nation being a place that is an honor to come to, an honor to live in, as I'm sure it is for so many millions of Brits, why would they free the Lockerbie bomber to go home to a hero's welcome in Libya? It's interesting to me that I took yesterday off to work with my lawyers, my legal team. I thought I'd get a rest. I didn't. I got 12 to 15 hours of hell. I had 15 hours of hell and another 18 hours of no sleep. When I saw the new legal findings, which I'm going to talk about today on the Savage Nation, and we just posted a new letter that was released yesterday to Jackie Smith with demands in it, and recommendations, and demands. It's on michaelsavage.com. Now, you could say, what do I care about, that I care about Obamacare? I do, too. I care about Obamacare, too. I understand what it is. It's socialized medicine. I understand that it's been discovered that Mr. Axelrod, who is the chief of staff for Obama, and certain family members of his, allegedly are going to make millions of dollars from the healthcare push. Allegedly now. You understand that we can't say that definitively, but even the Associated Press says that Obama's push for a national healthcare overhaul is providing a financial windfall to Democratic consulting firms closely connected to the president and two top advisors, including David Axelrod. Now, of course, if this was Bush and it was Karl Rove, Rove would be history. But I'm not going to talk about that directly. I'm going to talk about this indirectly, because the very same corruption that exists in this far-left government of Obama exists in the far-left government of Gordon Brown in England. And the very same corruption is being covered up here in the same way that it's being covered up there. And how do they cover their corruption here in America? they attack anybody who attacks Obama as being a racist. Anybody who criticizes Obama is a far-right, right-wing extremist. In England, what do they do? What do these British public school snobs do? And I say public school because in England, it's the reverse of here. If you're rich, you go to a public school, not a private school. British public school snots, who apparently have never worked a day in their life, have been found out in my legal research. And I am going to talk about the insanity of my having to fight to have my name taken off a list of murderers and terrorists, while a true murderer and terrorist, the Islamic fascist who was responsible for masterminding the Lockerbie bombing and the deaths of over 200 people, was released by the British government, and he went home to Libya to a hero's welcome. Have you seen the footage today of him getting on and off the plane in Scotland? Do you see them shaking his hand, the British governmental officials who hate me? The very same Labour governmental officials who hate Michael Savage shook the hands of a real murderer. And he went home to a hero's welcome. The British government under Gordon Brown is suicidal. They have sympathy for those who kill their own people and antipathy for those that would defend them. In researching the emails going back and forth between these snotty public school brats in England, you're not going to believe what we found. I've told you some of it, but you haven't heard all of it. I want you to go to michaelsavage.com at your leisure and look at the new legal letter to Britain. I will summarize some of those points today as I go in and out of the news. The memos are not going to be believed. You're not going to believe them when you read them. You have to see them. And I have to go back again to what I said to you before, that in a world of hype, a world of self-promoters, in a world of people trying to make a name for themselves, it's very difficult for you to take me seriously if you are a born skeptic as I am. I'm a born skeptic. I don't believe anybody, particularly anybody in the media. So it would be natural for you to have some skepticism about what I am saying, but I want you to try to not put aside your skepticism, but try to listen to what I'm saying to you. Just try for a minute. How do you square a government, the British Labour government, releasing the mastermind of the Lockerbie bombing, shaking his hand as he leaves Scotland, and putting me on a list of people to be banned because of my unacceptable behavior? Now, I want you to understand that to the British government under Gordon Brown, speech has become behavior. Do you understand how Orwellian this is? Speech has become behavior. And my speech, although it has never called for violence, may be offensive, may be shocking, may be very offensive and very shocking, as I'm sure it is to many people. It is shocking and offensive to people. I'm aware of that. Do you know that what I found in those emails should make your hair stand up? Do you know that they took statements from the founding of my Paul Revere Society, such as a nation is defined by its borders, language, and culture, and they use that as evidence of why I should be banned from Britain? I'm not making this up. I swear to you. I swear to you. They said that because Michael Savage believes a nation is defined by its borders, its language, and its culture, he has engaged in hateful speech. He has engaged in unacceptable behavior. Because he believes in borders, language, and culture, he has provoked and incited violence. Do you have any idea what this means? It means that the liberals have become the most extreme form of thought police. It means that the liberals have declared conservatives criminal. It means that the liberals in England have criminalized conservative thought and conservative speech, which is why every liberal who really believes in the liberal credo should buy my book, Banned in Britain. You need it as a document. You need to see the proof. You need to see I'm not hyping you. And you need to share it with your liberal friends. It may finally awaken you from your slumber before it is too late. It just might save America from the fate that Britain is suffering under these public school snots. I want you to go to michaelsavage.com and read the new legal letter that was sent by my attorneys, the defamation claim to Jackie Smith. And then I want you to look at the secret emails. Well, I can't give them to you now, but I want you to see the cover copy, the table of contents, and the excerpt for Banned in Britain. And once you look at these documents and put them together, And then you combine them with the fact that the very same Labor government that did this to me, and remember what they did to me. You say, oh, big deal, you can't go to Britain. You didn't want to go anyway. Well, you have to see the larger point. That denies me my freedom of movement, which is a denial of my fundamental civil rights. It denies me a freedom of movement. Do you understand that? It's a denial of the European Commission on Human Rights laws. It's a denial of the U.S. Bill of Rights. It's a denial of British law itself. It's a denial of everything that is decent about democracies. It is something you would see out of North Korea. Didn't North Korea just arrest two people for entering its soil that they didn't approve of politically? Weren't two journalists just released from North Korea by Bill Clinton because they dared wander into that sacred nation without permission? This is something for you to behold. The very same government of the United States of America under Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama that wants to continue the open border policy started by Bill Clinton and magnified and amplified by George Bush, the open borders with Mexico, where drug dealers can walk right across the border, says nothing about a legitimate American broadcaster with millions of followers being unable to go across the borders of Britain. Don't you see what's at stake here? Don't you understand what's at stake here? I am one man fighting an entire government. Don't you understand what's at stake? I hope you do. And I hope you understand this is not hype, nor do I care about selling a certain number of books because it will fatten my wallet. I hope you understand that I'm well past that point in my life. And I hope you understand that there's a greater principle in these shows about being banned in Britain and this one man's fight to free his name from this list of murderers and terrorists. I hope you understand. I'll be right back. Attention, Savage Nation listeners. For the last few weeks, you've heard me talk about everything from healthcare to the Queen of England. We've covered all topics on this program, but if you've been listening, and I know that you have, you've also heard me talk about a product called Debt-Free Stimulus. I've told you that if you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you owe it to yourself and your family to call them. Many of you have called, but some of you have not. Savage Nation, the time is now. Call these professionals today at 800-211-DEBT. If you're working and can afford making monthly payments, please call them at 800-211-DEBT, 800-211-DEBT, 800-211-DEBT. Get your life back on track. You deserve it, and this number can help. What is it, 800-211-DEBT? There is no obligation, and you get a thorough analysis when you call. It's time for my listeners to get a stimulus package. They'll package your debt. They'll get you back on track. 800-211-DEBT. Call these professionals today at 800-211-DEBT, 800-211-DEBT. A stimulus package that can actually work, the number 800-211-DEBT.
Call Michael now at 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
All right, I want to do this with you. I want to take you inside a courtroom. I'm going to act as my own defense attorney. I'm going to ask you, the American people listening to the Savage Nation, conservative, libertarian, liberal, independent, to be the jury. And I want to read something to you. We discovered the following memo being passed back and forth before they put me on this list of murderers and terrorists. Listen to what one of them said. Savage has a show called The Savage Nation. His views are extreme. He considers immigration, liberalism, and Islam to be the most dangerous threats to the U.S. He broadcasts on approximately 350 stations and receives an estimated weekly audience of 8 million listeners. This is what they wrote to each other. He is the third most popular radio talk show host in America. Now listen very carefully, folks, members of the jury. Here's what they wrote to each other in a summary of why I should be banned from Britain and that my fundamental rights be denied. Quote, Savage is the founder of the Paul Revere Society, which according to its mission statement aims to, quote, to take back our borders, our language, and our traditional culture from the left, corroding our great nation, close quote. This was a hit on me because I am a conservative. Now, the very same government that took offense with me because I believe in borders, language, and culture, today released the terrorist mastermind behind the Lockerbie bombing. And I want you to listen to Scottish Justice Secretary Kenny McCaskill, another far leftist, explaining why he released the Lockerbie bomber. Listen to clip two.
Our justice system demands that judgment be imposed, that compassion be available. Our beliefs dictate that justice be served, that mercy be shown. Compassion and mercy are about upholding the beliefs that we seek to live by, remaining true to our values as a people, no matter the severity of the provocation or the atrocity perpetrated.
Rubbish. 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 Where is the compassion and mercy towards Michael Savage? You low-life lout, you. You release an actual murderer who masterminded the blowing up of an airplane and the killing of hundreds of people, saying that you did so out of compassion and mercy, while Michael Savage, because he is a conservative and he is a white male, receives no such compassion and no such mercy. You say that compassion and mercy are the beliefs that you seek to live by, and yet your cohorts in London have no compassion or mercy for a conservative named Michael Savage. That you colluded behind my back to destroy my name and reputation and to deny me free travel and free speech. And you didn't notify me. You didn't give me a chance to explain myself or answer as to whether these statements are actually true. This is your idea of compassion and mercy, Scottish Justice Kenny McCaskill. Listen to clip three now.
For these reasons, and these reasons alone, it is my decision that Mr. Abdel Basset Ali Mohamed Al-Megrahi, convicted in 2001 for the Lockerbie bombing, now terminally ill with prostate cancer, be released on compassionate grounds and allowed to return to Libya to die.
So in other words, if I had a terminal illness and I was going to die, you'd let me into your rotten, stinking nation? Is that what you would do? If I were terminally ill, you'd release me for compassionate grounds? Well, let me tell you something. I ain't going to die so fast. Let me tell you something, Mr. Justice. I'm not going to get sick so fast. And let me tell you something else. I'm going to fight you until the last breath in my mouth. I'll make sure my name is cleared, and I will name you and shame all of you. Before I am through, I will show the world what you have become. I will show them how you have not only acted to defend your own people and your own honor, how you've acted not only to not defend Britain, to not defend your borders, to not defend the English language, to not defend your culture, but to destroy it from within. Whether it be out of cowardice or treason, I'm not sure if it's a combination of one or the both or something else. You talk about compassion and mercy out of one side of your mouth, while your cohorts in London show no such compassion and mercy to a man whose only crime is that he is an outspoken white male conservative, and that is your idea of compassion and mercy? Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage jury, I rest my case. I have been banned in Britain. If you think that they have not become a quasi-fascist state, I would like you to call me and tell me why.
Savage.
So, the very day that the British Liberal Party, and make no mistake about it, the Scottish government, although it's different than the government in England, is a sister to the Labour philosophy, the Liberal philosophy. And they take the mastermind of the Lockerbie bombing and they release him to Libya. He goes home to a hero's welcome. They say they did it out of compassion and mercy. And yet, for Michael Savage, white male, conservative, who believes in borders, language, and culture, I am a bigger enemy than a murderer. Yet they put me on a list of people to be banned, but not him. He's allowed in. Chicago, Dennis, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I think you're comparing apples and oranges, your case and that other guy's case. I mean, he's an admitted terrorist, and he's dying from cancer. So, you know, there's no harm that he could produce anymore. You know, so
you said there's no harm in releasing him because he can do no harm anymore?
That's what I think, yeah. He's just going to die.
Dennis, how old are you, Dennis?
31.
All right. Well, you act like a 15-year-old because he came home to a hero's welcome. He is a role model to future terrorists in Libya. He has shown that he beat the British system. He has made fools of the British people. Don't you see any of that? I assume that you are a Democrat, correct?
I'm wavering between one and the other. I think there are
How do you think Obama would react to this situation? Do you think that Obama would say, yes, release the Lockerbie bomber out of compassion and mercy? Do you think that that's what Obama's position would be?
I think so, yeah.
All right, well, here's what, my friend. You're wrong on both accounts. Play clip five.
We have been in contact with the Scottish government indicating that we objected to this. And we thought it was a mistake. We're now in contact with the Libyan government and want to make sure that if, in fact, this transfer has taken place, that he's not welcomed back in some way, but instead should be under house arrest. We've also obviously been in contact with the families of the Pan Am victims and indicated to them that we don't think this was appropriate.
So Obama was opposed to it after the fact because he understands what outrage there's going to be in America. So even liberals should be opposed to the release of the Lockerbie bomber, particularly when the Scottish Justice Kenny McCaskill had the gall to say he did so out of mercy, compassion and mercy, that those are the beliefs that the Labour government seeks to live by. How could they believe in compassion and mercy? How could they say that their government is built upon compassion and mercy and continue to keep Michael Savage on a list with known murderers and terrorists when, in fact, I did absolutely no crime? I committed no crime. Remember that. It gets even worse. In the memos that are disclosed in my new book, Banned in Britain, we found the following from December 9th, 2008, and you don't know about this. Quote, option of disclosure, number 6, Savage will not be notified of his exclusion. Let me repeat that. Savage will not be notified of his exclusion because his exact whereabouts are unknown. Now, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, they say that I have the third largest show in America. I reach 8 to 10 million listeners. I've written 25 books. 4, 5, 6 bestsellers, and the very government that knows so much about me that they want me to not come on their sacred soil, they can't find my whereabouts. They don't know where my syndicator is. They have no idea where any of my radio stations are. No, my friends, they didn't notify me of my exclusion in advance because they knew I would have objected and that I was not guilty. They knew that had they met me in any way, even in the mail, I would have said, now, wait a minute, this is wrong. You made a mistake here. These are not correct quotes. You are condemning me because elements within the American government sent you outtakes in order to destroy a conservative. Don't you understand that? This has the hands of the Democrats all over it. That's my opinion. We can't prove it yet. But the longer this goes on and the deeper we get into discovery, my suspicion is the oily tracks will run right into the Democrat Party or one of their front groups, of which there are many. And God forbid this turns out to be true for them. That's all I can say because I will pursue them to the ends of the earth in the courts. They go on to say issue whether to exclude Savage from the UK on grounds of unacceptable behavior. Now, let me stop there again. Unacceptable behavior to the British? Unacceptable behavior is speech. Speech is now unacceptable behavior, particularly conservative nationalist speech. Now, there are no concentration camps or gulags in England, but there are thought police with unprecedented powers to dictate what people shall think and what people shall say. Nikolai Bukharin claimed that one of the Bolshevik Revolution's principal tasks was to, quote, alter people's psychology. Bukharin, one of the founders of the Bolshevik Revolution, the Communist Revolution in Russia, said that one of the principal tasks of the revolution was, quote, to alter people's psychology. Now, you know that the Democrats are trying to alter your psychology. You know that the British are altering the people's psychology to the point that they won't even be able to defend themselves. You know that the government moved ahead to criminalize politically incorrect jokes. You know that there have been draconian punishments, including the arrest and criminal prosecution of even children for thought crimes and offenses against political correctness in the new Britain. I can give you one case after another. In September of 06, a 14-year-old schoolgirl, Cody Stott, asked a teacher if she could sit with another group to do a science project, as all the girls with her spoke only Urdu. The teacher's first response, according to the child, was to scream at her, "It's racist! You're going to get done by the police!" said the teacher. Upset and terrified, the schoolgirl went outside to calm down. The British teacher called the police, and a few days later, presumably after officialdom had thought the matter over, she was arrested and taken to a police station, where she was fingerprinted and photographed. According to her mother, this child was placed in a bare cell for 3.5 hours. She was questioned on suspicion of committing a racial public order offense and then released without charge. That's the Britain of compassion and mercy? No, that's the Britain of the new Bolsheviks. That is the Britain that took Michael Savage, white male conservative from America, honored broadcaster, loved by millions of ordinary American people, and said that because he believes, amongst other things, he said, we have to, quote, take back our borders, our language, and our traditional culture from the left, corroding our great nation, close quote. For those reasons, he will be considered banned in Britain. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Jury, I ask you to go to my website and look at the defamation letter filed yesterday, the new one, to Jackie Smith. We act for Michael Savage. We wrote to you on 15th of May in your capacity as Home Secretary. Blah, 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 blah. Our client is a citizen of the United States of America. He's under the name Michael Savage, the host of the successful radio program, The Savage Nation, syndicated across America by Talk Radio Network, and also a successful author on contemporary American politics and mores. Now, let's stop for a minute. They could have reached me through Talk Radio Network. They could have reached me through any one of 350 stations. They could have reached me through my publishers, but they chose not to. They said they will not notify me because his exact whereabouts are unknown. They're liars. They're deceptive, aren't they? The press release that they put out, my lawyer says, contains statements that are false and defamatory of our client. Please treat this letter as a letter of claim under the pre-action protocol for defamation. We attach for your convenience a copy of your press release. The press release constituted a page headed Promoters of Hatred, Named and Shamed, and a further page of the list headed Home Office Name Hate Promoters Excluded from the UK, listing various individuals who had been banned from entering the UK. The list included several individuals who were accused of terrorism and then stated as follows in respect to Michael Savage, quote, controversial daily radio host, considered to be engaging in unacceptable behavior by seeking to provoke others to serious criminal acts and fostering hatred, which might lead to intercommunity violence. Now, let me pause right there. By that definition, anybody could be banned from Britain for anything. Any liberal could be banned from Britain should a conservative government take over. And believe me, a conservative government will take over next May. These bums will be thrown out next May. Now, if this list were to stay, any liberal member of the Obama administration who has come out against anyone who opposed Obama and called him a racist could, by definition, be seen as provoking others to foster hatred and could lead to intercommunity violence. Anybody who attended a town hall meeting in the United States of America and spoke out as a free American citizen to all Inspector Barbara Boxer, you name it, could be seen as provoking intercommunity violence. For that matter, The senators and the congressmen themselves could be seen as fostering hatred, which might lead to intercommunity violence. In fact, the hatred fostered by the liberal fascists in this country have led to intercommunity anger, but not yet to intercommunity violence. My point is, though, that by this broad definition, this fascistic definition, this large basket, this large net, anybody could be named and shamed by Britain and excluded. In addition, my lawyer says, the first page stated that those who have been banned included, quote, controversial daily radio host who provoked others to commit crimes, close quote. Given that our client was the only radio host to appear on the list, this statement would evidently be taken to relate to him. These statements would, taken together, be understood by readers of the press release to mean that our client has sought to provoke others to commit serious criminal acts, and who has on more than one occasion, in fact, provoked others to commit criminal acts. The press release was also published and continues to be published on the Home Office website, in both the news and press release sections, and on the UK Border Agency website. He then goes on to say the allegations are entirely false. At no time has our client provoked or sought to provoke others to commit crimes or serious criminal acts. Well, that's a truism. Are my words criminal? Are there liberals listening to this show who think that my words are criminal? If you say that, and I'm sure some of you would say that, I want to remind you to be very careful what you say, because you now are becoming a fascist. You're now saying you don't believe in the First Amendment. You're now saying you believe in censorship. You're now saying you believe in exclusion. You're now saying you believe in closing borders. You now say you believe that you shall have the sole right to determine what is fair and what is unfair. Be very careful, because you're soon going to find out that you're not the good person you think you are. You are, in fact, the very worst person you've always feared your entire life. And let me bring it back to Lockerbie and the bomber. Scottish Justice Senator Kenny McCaskill explains why the Lockerbie bomber was released. Listen to clip. Let's do the number two.
Our justice system demands that judgment be imposed, but compassion be available. Our beliefs dictate that justice be served, but mercy be shown. Compassion and mercy are about upholding the beliefs that we seek to live by, remaining true to our values as a people, no matter the severity of the provocation or the atrocity perpetrated.
Regardless of the provocation or the atrocity perpetrated, they believe in compassion and mercy. Then why doesn't it apply to me? My friends, it has nothing to do with compassion and mercy. It has to do with cowardice and fear. They fear the radical Muslims in their own homeland. They fear what will happen to them if they continue to show any guts, any true grit. And so instead of closing their nation to the true enemies, instead of giving the death sentence to their true enemies, they give a sentence that may as well be a death sentence to a man whose politics they disagree with. If they could, they probably would give me the death penalty. But I want to remind you of the following. I want to remind you that my lawyer has put on record the following. Quote, their own researchers, their own emails say the following. Page two. They found in page two, quote, now this is quoting their own emails. Quote, there is no evidence of Savage advocating or inciting violence. Close quote. So one of their own researchers found that to be, that there was no evidence of Savage advocating or inciting violence. Close quote. My lawyer then says, notwithstanding this information, you agreed to publish the press release, which stated expressly that our client sought to provoke criminal acts. So why did they go ahead with this when they knew that it was false? I will read you further emails from Banned in Britain and my lawyer's letter of yesterday. We will tie it into the lies we are hearing coming out of Scotland about releasing the Lockerbie bomber, and I will show you that it was purely motivated purely on political grounds. Them banning Michael Savage was purely because I am a nationalist, I am a conservative, and I am outspoken. 1-800-449-8255 or go to michaelsavage.com to see Banned in Britain. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I beg your indulgence, and I will ask my audience right now, my dear audience, whether or not you wish me to continue with this case, which is consuming me, because I will free my name, if I can, with your help. With your help, I will, and with the publicity that you're going to help me get by circulating the book Banned in Britain. You're going to make this cause and this case as important as it should be. And I beg your indulgence, because it's consuming me. One of their own emails says there is no evidence that Savage advocated or incited violence. Yet they went ahead and published a press release which stated expressly that Savage did seek to provoke criminal acts. You could read all this on my website, but most of you, are listening to a radio show in a car or whatever. The bottom line is another email that we found says that by putting Savage on the list, it would, quote, help to provide a balance of types of exclusion cases. You know, I read this morning. When I got it, I felt as though I was reading documents that have been discovered in the archives of the Third Reich, something in the rubble of Hitler's bunker. I thought that I was looking at something not from England, the country I've always admired and loved. I've always been an Anglophile. I still admire the British people. I pray to God that they wake up before it's too late. But when I saw these clinically efficient little snotty emails going back and forth between these people who went to public schools and apparently never worked a day in their lives, these trust fund cases, who were given these jobs because of family connections, I was shocked by the clinical efficiency of their emails. One says to the other like a schoolboy, "I will hold down the fort while you are away." Hold down the fort? Your grandfather might have held down the fort, but my friend, you're not holding down the fort. You listed a man who's innocent with terrorists and murderers because you don't like his politics, and because he's loud, and because he's vociferous, and because he's offensive, and because he's shocking. Winston Churchill said that it is shocking speech that should be protected. I've told you 1,000 times on this show, polite speech does not need protection. Polite speech does not need a First Amendment. In fact, the European Union itself has a code about free speech which says that shocking speech itself must be maintained as legal. You understand this? New York, Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. You know, I've been outraged since this whole thing began against you. I'm further outraged by the lack of media response and the alleged representatives that have completely...
It's unbelievable to me. I can't understand how the legislators in America, not one of them has picking this case. How is it possible?
No, it's a complete disgrace, quite frankly. And to be honest with you, I mean, you're exposing the tyranny, and I'm glad you're spending so much time, but my biggest outrage is the fact that you're compared to a terrorist. I mean, I'm a 9/11 firefighter, survived that, and one of my partners, his mother, father, and pregnant sister were killed on that flight.
On the Lockerbie flight, you mean that the terrorist was released to Libya today?
Absolutely. And then,
all right, so how do you feel with him coming home to a hero's welcome?
Compassion that this man had left in his heart. Today, I can't imagine the pain he's going through. I mean, he's a shell of a human being. And the fact that you were ever compared on any level, or they draw parallels to you, who you only speak of conservative values, whether they disagree or not, I mean, this is a tyranny of the absolute...
Frank, it is a tyranny. It's fascism. That's what I've been screaming about now for months, trying to get my name off the list. They won't let it go. They know they're liars. They know they shouldn't have put me on the list. Their own email says I'm innocent, that I didn't commit any crimes, and they went ahead and did this anyway. They crucified me, but they only put one spike in one hand, and I still have a free hand and 2 free feet.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Court of the Savage Nation is now in session. The Honorable Judge Michael Savage presiding. All rise.
Yeah, all rise. You're the only thing I've got in this world for justice. I have nobody in the media. I have nobody in the Republican Party. I have nobody in the government that will help me get off the list of murderers and terrorists. And yet, the compassionate British government in Scotland has released a terrorist who was the mastermind of Lockerbie, who was in prison for having masterminded blowing up the Pan Am flight and killing hundreds of people. And the judge who released him said he did so out of compassion and mercy. Listen to clip three now, please.
For these reasons, and these reasons alone, it is my decision that Mr. Abdel Basset Ali Mohamed Al-Megrahi, convicted in 2001 of the Lockerbie bombing, now terminally ill with prostate cancer, be released on compassionate grounds and allowed to return to Libya to die.
Well, he went home not to die, but to enjoy a hero's welcome and to be a role model and a mentor to the next generation of terrorists, apparently. Even Obama said that they shouldn't have done it. Even Obama said it was a mistake. Listen to Obama in clip five, you liberals.
Wait, hold on.
You liberals who want to gang up on me and say one thing has nothing to do with another. You liberals who want to condemn me and crucify me. Listen to Obama.
We have been in contact with the Scottish government indicating that we objected to this. And we thought it was a mistake. We're now in contact with the Libyan government and want to make sure that if, in fact, this transfer has taken place, that he's not welcomed back in some way, but instead should be under house arrest.
All right, let's stop right there. So Obama was opposed to releasing a Lockerbie bomber, so he says. I'm not so sure I believe it, number one. I believe he's doing damage control. I believe that somebody in the State Department definitely was consulted, would be my opinion. Somebody from Scotland went to one of the people in our nanny state and asked them what they think, and they said, sure, go ahead, release him. After all, we're now talking to Kim Jong-il. We're talking to Ahmadinejad. We want to make nice to Libya. Sure, release him. Go ahead. And then all of a sudden, the blowback came at them, and suddenly Obama's stepping and saying it was a mistake. So maybe he didn't know about it, but I'm sure somebody in the State Department did know about it in advance. Now we go back to Michael Savage being banned in Britain. They won't release my name, even though they've been shown to be, they made a mistake. They say they have compassion and mercy. How about with me? So they have compassion and mercy for a radical Muslim terrorist, but no compassion and mercy for a right-wing, conservative, American talk show host who believes in borders, language, and culture. In their emails, we found the following, and this is the most important one for you to listen to. Here's my lawyer says, in an email between the Home Office timed at 12:48 and 27 November 08, that there had been discussion within the Home Office that disclosure of the decision to exclude Savage would, quote, help provide a balance of types of exclusion cases. Balance of types? What do they mean by that? Oh, I see. They're going to balance it so they put in a white man, conservative nationalist, to make it not look like they're worried about the Muslim extremists amongst them. You see? Well, I'll rest not my case, but for the moment, I'm not going to read any more about what they did to me. But the fact is that in their press release, they said that I am an individual who would glorify terrorist violence. This is the very same government that just had a sister government in Scotland release an actual murderer and terrorist for compassionate and merciful reasons. They said that I glorify terrorist violence. The exact opposite is true. I've spent every day trying to warn you about and against terrorist violence, trying to tell you to defend your nation against terrorist violence. They then said that I have a racist website. Is the Savage Nation, is michaelsavage.com racist? Can anyone find one article on the website that is racist? Does anything on my website promote serious criminal activity and foster hatred? Well, if it does, then they better arrest everybody in the Associated Press, the Daily News, the New York Post, and every other newspaper that's linked there, because I don't write original articles for that website. They also say that on this list, they put a man in jail. They put me in with a man who spent 30 years in an Israeli prison for killing four soldiers and a four-year-old Jewish girl who they bashed their heads in with a rifle butt. I'm on the same list as him. I'm on a list with an individual in Russia, member of a violent gang that beat immigrants to death and posted films of their attacks on the internet. They listed me with him. They said that the list was intended to name and shame Michael Savage and the press release defame me. So there it is. And it closes by saying, in order to remedy your action in respect to the press release, our client requires that you respond with 14 days of a letter that is on December 1, 2009, the following one. The payment to you by you to our client of a substantial sum in damages to be agreed be the sending by you to our client of a letter in terms and in the form to be agreed upon with our client, which can then be circulated at our client's discretion to include a retraction of the allegations, a personal apology from you, and an acknowledgement that you have agreed to pay a substantial sum in libel damages to our client. C, a written undertaking from you not to repeat the allegations complained of. And C, the payment by you of our client's legal costs of dealing with this matter. If I do not hear from you in these terms, says my lawyer, our client will issue proceedings against you forthwith. In the meantime, our client reserves all his rights. Very sincerely yours, the law firm in London. There's not one mention of this in the blog, in the American media. Not on Fox News. They won't touch it. The big conservatives wrap themselves in the flag. Not one mention of this case. Not one letter from one Republican congressman, not one Republican senator has come to my aid and said, this is an outright savage. This is wrong. We're going to help you. We're going to circulate a letter to help you. Not one of them. Do you know why? Can you put two and two together? Because it was Michael Savage who attacked George Bush for 8 straight years. In fact, we've researched this, and this started during George Bush's reign. We believe this was initiated under George Bush. Because I, my friends, was the first to call Bush out for what he was doing to this country. I, my friends, was the first to tell you that his attempted appointment of Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court would have been an outrage. She was his personal lawyer. I called her a nonentity. And I marshaled thousands of you to write emails saying, no, Bush can't put her on the Supreme Court. I don't know if you remember this. I stopped the appointment of Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court, George Bush's personal lawyer from Texas. But more importantly, I cost the Bushies billions of dollars because they try to pull a Trojan horse on you. If you remember what I did, do you remember what I did? Tell me what I did that incited anger within the Bush administration, the corrupt Bush administration, that probably triggered this entire name and shame thing and put in a list with murderers and terrorists. Does anyone remember what you did? How many thousands or hundreds of thousands of you joined with me? I even had Charles Schumer on the show agreeing with me. I had left and right agreeing with me. Well, I'll save you a step. They wanted to have a firm from the Middle East take over security at 9 of our ports, including a military base in Texas. That's right. They were going to take people from Dubai and give them control over all of our security data at 9 or 10 American shipping ports. I went nuts on this show. I stopped that cold. I remember Bush even sent out one of his dumb relatives, a dumb nephew, who said that it was racist for me to do it. Do you remember the language? He said it was racist of me to say that there was danger in blocking the Dubai ports deal. Do you remember those days? So, my friends, the oily tracks run back to both parties, which is why not one Republican has come to my aid, because they are as duplicitous and as complicit as the Democrats are in the destruction of our borders, our language, and our culture. I rest my case. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Notwithstanding the Home Secretary's answer, she will be aware that the things of which she accuses Mike Savage is equally illegal in the United States of America, and he has not faced prosecution there. So does she realise how ludicrous her ban is? Does she realise the disrepute she has put this country in the eyes of many right-seeing people, and indeed left-seeing people, in the United States of America? And does she equally plan to ban Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh, and other middle-aged, white, ordinary American radio presenters?
That, hear, that's conservative British MP. Notice I say the conservative on 51809 in Parliament, Mr. Fabricant, saying it was an outrage what was done to me. Meanwhile, my name is still on the list because the liberals are still ruling with gold lame heels. And so, therefore, I twist in the wind. No help from Rush Limbaugh. No help from the Republicans. No help from Fox News. No help from the painted ladies on Fox News. And so when you hear them talk about their principled outrage and their moral indignation about Obama, You have to ask yourself, do they really mean it? That's all I can say. Let's go to the callers, please. I hope you'll go to michaelsavage.com and download the letter from my lawyer, setting the record straight. It was posted just this hours ago. I want you to see what they said about me behind the scenes and how duplicitous they have been and how they've dug their heels in and why I must fight to free my name and reputation and to really recover my freedom of travel and freedom of speech and how it goes well beyond one man. It goes well beyond one man and how the book Banned in Britain is so important, a seminal book for anyone's library who believes in freedom. Alan Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, it's really a matter here of you don't know why you're on this list. You're taking it personal.
Well, Al, what are you talking about? What do you mean I don't know why I'm on the list? What are you talking about?
In terms of...
I just spent an hour and a half explaining that they put me on the list because they wanted to damn a white man so they didn't look like they were just picking on Muslims. What do you mean I don't know why I'm on the list?
You keep talking about a list of terrorists. They didn't call you a terrorist. They put you on a list saying they don't want you to come into England. And it's as obvious, really.
Wait, hold it. Your mind is slipping. Why would they put a talk show host on a list with murderers and terrorists?
No, you're on a list. They don't want you in England. And there's also terrorists who are...
Wait. Hold on a minute. So you think that's fair of them?
Well, it's as obvious as today's Lockerbie decision, which, you know, you're a smart guy, and it's really a matter here of... it's as simple as, why do Scotsmen wear kilts? Because
Al, you have memory lapses, Al. You really should never call the show. I feel bad for you, Al. Don't ever call the show, please, Al. You never should have gotten on the air. Okay, that's a call screening mistake, but these things happen. I feel bad for that guy. Let's go to the next caller. Wisconsin, Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, and God bless you for your courageous, true speech. I pray for you every night, Dr. Savage. This whole thing reminds me of Free Barabbas. They're letting this lunatic, this terrorist, off out of mercy. And they can't show mercy to someone with a courageous voice like you. God bless you, Dr. Savage. God bless you.
Thank you, Kathy. God bless you for the call. Thank you. Kansas City, Jeff, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, you are unmasking a big brother. You threaten the elites both here and abroad, and they know it, okay? And they fear the anger of the masses that is stirring beneath this facade of tranquility that the media presents. Mm. They fear it. They understand it's real, and they should, because they have...
Well, it's interesting that you should say that. In other words, one could say it's a great honor to have been put on such a list because I've gotten to them, and they're terrified of the truth. And they're terrified of the reality awakening the drunken soccer thugs in England from their stupor, where they might take the country back. I understand all of that, Jeff. Meanwhile, the fact is that I'm twisting in the wind, and there is great danger in being on such a list, Jeff. There's no honor in being on this list. There's only danger, Jeff. And I don't have to spell out why there is danger in being on such a list, do I?
Absolutely not. But you're competing against a bunch of self-serving egomaniacs like Sean Hannity, the leprechaun Bill O'Reilly. They trumpet these values. They don't stick up for you, which is pure cowardice, because anyone with a half of a mind knows it could be them next. Okay?
Well, I wouldn't save all my wrath for them. I just consider them to be entertainers who don't want to rise to the occasion. I mean, frankly, if you want to talk about them one more time, I will. The greatest thing they could do for their own reputation would be to say, you know, even though Savage has said things about me that are horrible, and I really despise what he's called me. He called me wallbanger. He called me leprechaun. He called me golfer. I don't like it. It got very personal. I think he was petty and childish. He shouldn't have done it, and I resent it. But there's a bigger principle here, and for that reason, I'm going to have Michael Savage on the Bill O'Reilly show, meaning O'Reilly could say that, or Hannity could get off his stupidity and say, even though he said these things about me, I'm going to show him a bigger man. But they're not bigger men, Jeff. That's the point.
They are cowards.
They're not bigger men. This is a golden opportunity for them to show that they're bigger men. But they won't and can't do it. And they rule Fox News like a lockdown. The painted girls are afraid to touch me. You know, in the beginning, the painted girls were on my side because they understand what's at stake here. But the painted ladies of Fox News have been warned, probably by the shillelagh holder not to talk about Michael Savage. Well, that's their loss, and I don't care about him anymore. I don't need them. I need you. I need you, because one day the truth will come out. One day, I'm telling you as I stand here, I will get... Look, my next goal is I'm trying to get this book to press, Banned in Britain. And we're in the last phases, copy editing before the printer, etc. You're buying the book in droves. It's doing well, so don't think I'm doing it for the buck. Okay, it's not. It's just more taxes and more money to give away. I'm doing it to get the message out. I want a document of what was done to an innocent man, so it's not done again. I want you to have this document so that you know what these private school boys in England did to me. These snotty louts who never worked a day in their life, given these jobs through political connections, writing these snitty little notes to each other in this clinical manner that you would say it was right out of the Third Reich. That's what it looks like to me. Only it's not conservatives who did it. It's good old compassionate liberals.
Savage.
It's so important that we pass health insurance reform. I know there's been a lot of misinformation in this debate, and there are some folks out there who are, frankly, bearing false witness.
So Obama says that there are people putting out misinformation, that's the new Democrat Party line, and that there are people who are bearing false witness. I agree with him. The question is, who in his administration is putting out misinformation, and who in his administration is bearing false witness? The answer is all of them. Now, the reason I say that, and again, I speak boldly, is because it's true. I will prove with the following news article, which we linked up from the Associated Press on michaelsavage.com, that there are people very close to Obama who are putting out misinformation, and there are people very close to Obama who are bearing false witness, specifically to make millions of dollars. Now, this information came out today from the Associated Press that his chief of staff, who has a name, named Axelrod, once was involved with some consulting companies that now have the contracts to put out the information, or some would say the misinformation in this debate, and the government is funding it, or the Democrat Party is funding it to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. And so I agree with the president when he says there's a lot of misinformation in this debate, and I agree with the president further when he says that there are some out there who are bearing false witness. I would also add to that list any Democrat who has called the town hall goers various names, including Nazi or un-American. That would include Arlen Specter, Barbara Boxer, and the others who claim that the American people are bearing false witness and putting out misinformation. And so, again, I refer you to my website, where I try to find the best articles from all of the press sources. Obama's men make millions from healthcare push, I ask, came from the Associated Press. It says, and I'm quoting now, Obama's push for a national healthcare overhaul is providing a financial windfall to Democratic consulting firms closely connected. Now pay attention, not with Republicans now. President Barack Obama's push for national healthcare overhaul is providing a financial windfall in the election offseason to Democratic consulting firms that are closely connected to the president and two top advisors, says the Associated Press. Coalitions of interest groups running at least $24 million in pro-overhaul ads hire GMMB, which worked for Obama's 08 campaign and whose partners include a top Obama campaign strategist. They also hired AKPD Message and Media, which was founded by David Axelrod, a top advisor to Obama's campaign and now in the White House, to the White House. AKPD did work for Obama's campaign, and Axelrod's son, Michael, and Obama's campaign manager, David Plouffe, worked there. The firms were hired by Americans for Stable Quality Care and his predecessor, Healthy Economy Now. Each was formed by a coalition of interest, now listen very carefully, with big stakes in healthcare policy. I want you to listen to who wants Obamacare, the drug maker lobby, PHRMA, the AMA, the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, and Families USA. Now, why would pharmaceutical companies and their lobbying groups, why would the AMA, which is big medicine, why would they want health care reform? Huh? The same reasons that they put out misinformation about vitamins on a daily basis. The same reason they are opposed to self-help. The same reason they attack nutritional information on a daily basis. The same reason they push you into drugs and into surgery and into unnecessary procedures, because they're going to make trillions of dollars over a 10-year period. They are, in fact, behind Obama's health care overhaul. It has nothing to do with saving money. But there are other groups that want health care reform. They would include La Raza, who are now inside the White House. I want to add, by the way, there's no evidence that Axelrod directly profited from the group's ads, according to this article. They say that Axelrod took steps to separate himself from AKPD when he joined Obama's White House. Ha! Ha! Just as George Bush's minions did, huh? You mean when Halliburton was accused of war profiteering? You liberals let that go, huh? By the way, AKPD owes Axelrod $2 million from his stock sale and will make preset payments over 4 years starting with $350,000 on December 31, according to Axelrod's personal financial disclosure report. I ask you, good liberals, you're all so fair, if this was a Republican administration and it came out that Karl Rove had been owned a firm, and the firm was now getting some of the $24 million in pro-overhaul ads, what would be going on the show, for example, on MSNBC, where the gentleman allegedly urinates on himself because his leg shakes so much and he can't control his bladder. Tell me what he'd be saying tonight. So there it is, $24 million in ads, and these companies are making a good portion of those ads. And there's no talk about ethics rules for this administration. They've blown it out of the fence. They've blown a hole through the fence of any ethics rules whatsoever. There are no ethic rules in the Obama administration. There's only horse manure. AKPD has a full page on Axelrod that includes pictures of Obama. In one photo, Obama hugs Plouffe on election night. Read the article. I didn't write it. Of course, now you could call the Associated Press racist. That would be the next attack. The author from the Associated Press of this article entitled Firms with Obama Ties Profit from Health Push was written by a Sharon Themer, T-H-E-I-M-E-R. I suppose now she will be banned from the White House. Now you understand about health care, what it's all about. It's all about money. Now let's go back to my dilemma, because the corruption of liberalism is something to behold. But that's not limited to liberalism. It's the hypocrisy of liberalism that's most worrisome. So now let's go to the callers and see what you think. WOR, New York. Jesse, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I don't wish to sound like the devil's advocate. I like to see England change their mind, but I seriously doubt that will not happen. I lived in England for 1 year. I experienced a similar situation to yours in which I was invited to leave. And I could tell you now that from my observations, England does not want to jeopardize their relationship with Saudi money. They own a great deal of property in England, probably the lion's share of England.
Well, let's go back to Princess Diana and Harrods and that little event.
Well, you know, I can't comment much on that. All I could say is from my own experience, I could tell you that they own...
I'm saying that because the owner of Harrods happens to be a Saudi, originally from Saudi Arabia. Is that not true?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I seem to... I realize what you're saying now, but what
yeah,
I want
uh-huh,
to bring out
uh-huh,
with clarity...
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. In other words, England may be a wholly owned subsidiary of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is what you're implying.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. Well, let's go to the next step. How about George Bush being led around by his finger by the King of Saudi Arabia?
Yes, this too.
How about Obama bending over and having a necklace put on his neck like it was a rock star by the King of Saudi Arabia?
Yes, it's the almighty buck. You know,
mm-hmm. Now you understand why when a man speaks about borders, language, and culture, he becomes an enemy of the New World Order?
Yes, they're going to trade.
Okay, well, now you understand what my book is about. Banned in Britain is not just about this case with England. It's about the fact that they picked on me because I am trying to save the sovereignty of America, the sovereignty of England, the sovereignty of France, the sovereignty of Germany, the sovereignty of Norway, the sovereignty of Spain. Every Western nation right now has been overrun by international interests. We do not know who actually pulls the strings. And I'm trying to awaken the nationalist spirits in all of these nations. Do you understand that?
Yes, but I'd like to add one little thing, Dr. Savage, if I may. Please, why not avenge yourself? Think. Why not harness the energy that you possess, like no other in this country? And you take your listeners and yourself and put us into the White House the next time around. Think of you think England's going to say, oh, we can't let the President of the United States into the country? I mean, it would be, you know.
Wait, what do you mean, put us into the White House? I missed that, Jesse. What do you mean? Wait, what do you mean, put us into the White House? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean the conservative movement.
All right. Well, okay, good. That's a great question. Name one.
Name who? One conservative?
Tell me which conservative you want in the White House. Who? Cindy McCain?
No, yourself.
No, I'm not a politician. I am absolutely not a politician. In fact, I'm going to repeat what I said Friday. When my name is off this list, when I've gotten the justice I deserve, I will soon thereafter leave radio. This is the last straw for me. I don't want to pay this price anymore. I have paid too much for this career. That's all I'm going to say it again. I've paid too much for it. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to be the sacrificial lamb for the tens of millions of Americans who were doing nothing for me. I'm not going to be the sacrificial lamb for the talk show hosts who do nothing for me. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to leave it all. I don't want to be around this anymore. I don't want to take it anymore. Moreover, I'll tell you something else. You think there's no danger in being the nail that sticks out of the board? You think that there's no danger in fighting the British government? You think they're so benign? You really believe their malarkey, that they're so nice? You think that there's no danger in standing up to them and saying that there's collusion between them and the U.S. government? Well, let me remind you of something. I have very little to do with anybody right now. I'm almost never out of my houses. I rarely leave my houses. And when I do, I'm very guarded. I rarely go to see any of my friends. I cannot speak with them about anything because I'm only interested in getting my name and reputation back. I do not have time to talk about the weather. I do not have time to talk about meals right now. So it's taken a very dramatic toll on this one American, and it's one man alone, and the only thing I have is you. Do you understand that? So let's go back now to the issue of the Scottish geniuses releasing the Lockerbie bomber today for compassionate and merciful reasons. They have compassion and mercy is what I always thought the British did have in modern times. I was always impressed with the British people for being compassionate and merciful, and tough, by the way, tough enough to fight Hitler. They gave the flower of their young men in the Battle of Britain. They all came out of the best schools. I don't think you know that, but most of the fighter pilots of World War II were men from the better schools and from very, very, you know, higher-end families in England. They went into the Air Force out of national pride. It was required of them to show that they had the derring do and pride. And they lost so many of them. And instead, they wound up with Jackie Smith as Home Secretary instead of a war hero from Iraq. Instead of having a man who actually saw the face of a man chanting to Allah while cutting off his head in Iraq, they put in Jackie Smith. Instead of taking one of their own war heroes from Iraq or Afghanistan and putting him into the Home Office job, because he would know better than anybody what danger they are in, they put in Jackie Smith. You understand what I'm saying to you? So let's go back to the callers. Again, I invite you to go to michaelsavage.com. I'd like to have the callers. Tucson, Arizona. TJ, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Savage, I disagree with your problem over there in England has to do with the fact that you're a white guy. I think it has to do with the fact that you're the only commentator out there talking about how the DNC and the RNC has been taken over by a bunch of Marxist oligarchs.
Well, but when this was done to me, it was George Bush. And although he was a pre-Marxist oligarch, he was not yet a Marxist oligarch. And if you read their emails going back and forth to each other, going back to November of 08, they say that putting Michael Savage on the list would, quote, provide a balance of types of exclusion cases. So what do they mean by a balance of types? Was that based on the fact that I'm not Muslim? What do you mean a balance of types? Why did they pick me? What type am I? Tell me what type I am.
I don't know. Maybe before, during the Bush administration, some of the things you were saying kind of that you were leaning in that direction, maybe you weren't making those direct statement.
Well, maybe, yeah, when I stopped the Dubai ports deal, when I stopped Harriet Myers from getting put on the Supreme Court, I would say that pissed off George Bush and his minions. I would think so.
Maybe that's where your problem started, because if you're right...
I agree with you. I just said to you, I think it goes all the way back to Bush. I didn't say that it started with Obama. I never said that. Never said that. In fact, if Obama really wanted to make points with the independents, he would intervene right now and say, you know what? I don't like Michael Savage's politics, but he has a right to speak them, and I want you to take his name off the list. That would add 10 points to his popularity tomorrow. Do you know that?
Yes,
ma'am. I have 10 million listeners, for God's sakes, who have 10 million friends. And look whose show he goes on to talk about health care. A false conservative who voted for him. You hear this? Obama goes on conservative show to talk about health care. A guy's show, no one ever heard of him. And the guy voted for him. He's a conservative like my dog is a conservative. Actually, I think my dog is probably more conservative than the show he went on, the guy's show. It's unbelievable to me. You're going to believe that? All right, let's go to the callers again around the country. 1-800-449-8255. So you feel it's good that the Scots released the bomber for compassionate reasons so he can go home to die in Libya. Well, he came home to a hero's welcome. Did you see the footage yet? You're going to see it later tonight. You're not going to believe it. The Scots released this bum who was the mastermind of the Lockerbie bombing, killed 200 and some odd people. And he went back to Libya to a hero's welcome. So young potential or young would-be terrorists now have a role model and a mentor. He will hold meetings. He will be held up as a role model. He not only killed many Americans and British people, but he got away with it. He made a mockery of the weaklings in Scotland, because that's how they see it. He made a mockery of it. He used the laws of Scotland themselves to pervert the laws, just as murderers do in America. Just as we have people on death row should have been executed 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but they have shyster lawyers, mainly from Harvard and NYU, who continue to spin lies how they were this and how they were that. Just as we have too many people on death row, 99.9% of whom are guilty of sin. They come up with new fake rules every other day of why they shouldn't be executed. The same liberalism, the same false compassion, the same big lie is being put out by the Scots today saying why they released the Lockerbie bomber. Now, I would believe it if I believed it, but I don't believe a word of it. I believe that they released whatever his name is, not out of compassion and mercy, but out of fear and terror. And I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, so we're talking about the Obama minions tied to profiteering from the health care thing. Billions and billions of dollars a year are going to be made by his friends. And you say nothing. You think it's about universal health care. You know, you're easily duped. You liberals are not that smart. You're easily duped. You're led around by your nose and your emotions. Read the article. Firms with Obama ties profit from health push, tied into the drug manufacturers and the AMA. The AMA is into a kind of medicine that's very exploitive and very expensive. Okay? That's the absolute reality of anybody who understands medicine and alternative healing. Read the article. I didn't write it. The Associated Press did. Now let's go back to Bandon Britain, my book, which you will buy, most of you will, on michaelsavage.com, and why I was banned. It goes all the way back to Bush. They never forgot the fact that I marshaled, I don't know, maybe hundreds of thousands of you to send emails and letters to your congressmen and senators saying, do not let the people in Dubai take over our port security. Bush then wheeled out some child relative of his named Pierce Bush, who turns out to be Neil Bush's son. Neil Bush is the man of the SNL fame. Remember the SNL scandal, Neil Bush? Well, apparently he has a genius of a son named Pierce Bush, who accused anyone of opposing the Dubai port deal of being a racist. Listen.
It's not about ports. It's not about security. It's about, you know, underlying prejudice that exists towards Arabs. And, you know, it's sad because, honestly, I think we're going in the wrong direction towards making our country more secure. People, you have to be very careful about being, you know, prejudice.
Chip off the old block. Prejudice. Well, I tell you this, his lingo and his delivery and his brain level would match that of McCain's daughter, Megan. I think they should hook up. I really like to be a matchmaker. I would do that marriage. They're invited out on my boat. I would marry Pierce Bush and Megan McCain any day because these two are made for each other. Listen to Megan McCain, though.
It can be a party for a 24-year-old pro-sex woman. It can be. I just think that we have people that are in this party that are hijacking and trying to make it even more extreme.
I rest my case. I rest my case. This is the progeny that they produce. Banned in Britain. You know what? I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of who I am. And by the way, add these people to your list. Not one Jewish group has come to my aid. Not the ADL, not one rabbi, not one rabbinical group, not one biblical group. Not one Jewish group has come to my aid. Oh, but they're still living in the past. They would have stopped Hitler, would they?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Look, all day long I've been talking about the British ban of Michael Savage. I want you to understand something. Please, don't turn the radio off. Listen to me. We live in a world of hubris and people aggrandizing themselves and making themselves more important than they are. I get it. But what happens when there's something real? What happens if this is a real case of a real government doing a really evil thing to an innocent man? Listen carefully. On the very day that the same British government that locked me out of their nation, meaning denied me my freedom of travel, denied me my freedom of speech, this very same government released a Libyan terrorist who was convicted of blowing up a Pan American flight over Lockerbie, Scotland a number of years ago, killing hundreds of people. This very same group of government officials that banned me released him to a hero's welcome in Libya. What does that tell you about these people? Does it tell you that they're in control? Does it tell you that they know what they're doing? They don't know what they're doing. They're evil. An evil government has tried to destroy an innocent man's name and reputation. That's why I wrote Banned in Britain. That's why it's on michaelsavage.com. That's why you owe it to yourself to buy a copy and buy a copy for your friends. This is real. Listen to what's inside these documents. Quote, one of them says, with Savage, I can understand that disclosure of this decision would help provide a balance of types of exclusion cases. What does that mean? They wanted to tell people that they were not only excluding Islamo-fascists from Britain, who they're deathly afraid of, as they should be, but they were putting me on the list to balance the list, a white conservative. But they keep on going. Listen to this. One of them wrote this. Quote, if his name were to be published, I think it is likely that this would get back to him eventually, close quote. Brilliant deduction, Sherlock. These people are living in a dream world, which is why they release terrorists and condemn innocent conservatives. Listen to this one. Another intergovernmental email we discovered that is in Michael Savage, that we discovered that is in my book Banned in Britain. Quote, you're not going to believe this. Happy that the decision will be published in the routine quarterly list. Still not sure about naming, as this might create a following Savage never had before, close quote. Well, that much they got right. My show has grown much bigger since I was banned in Britain. People from England who had never heard of me before have called this show from England to tell me they became ardent fans as a result of the Labour government's action. But I'm not reveling in this ban. I am suffering a huge personal cost emotionally and financially. Few people understand the strain that occurs when an entire nation paints a target on your back, as has been done by the Labour government in Britain. Now listen to this language we found. It's all in banned in Britain, but I'm giving it to you here first in the Savage Nation. Listen to what one of these twits wrote. Quote, as post has not come back to you, I should be grateful if you could complete the first part of the form, new policy pro forma above, sign it off, and forward it with attachments by the 2nd of December. As you are agreeing to excluding him and publication of Savage's name, you may want to copy the post in for the sake of transparency, close quote. Transparency? This sounds like something out of the Third Reich. They're not writing a zoning ordinance. They're denying a man his freedoms, his basic freedoms. Here's another one from these twits who would hang me if they could. Quote, if you would like to give them one more day, I will hold the fort to Friday. Regards, close quote. Hold the fort till Friday? These public school twits are living in their snotty little world, living in their own little secure world, these empty-headed, dangerous bureaucrats, hacks who wouldn't think twice about destroying their own civilization if it meant getting them closer to a pension. Why would they free the Lockerbie bomber to go home to a hero's welcome in Libya? It's interesting to me that I took yesterday off to work with my lawyers, my legal team. I thought I'd get a rest. I didn't. I got 12 to 15 hours of hell. I had 15 hours of hell and another 18 hours of no sleep. When I saw the new legal findings, which I'm going to talk about today on the Savage Nation, and we just posted a new letter that was released yesterday to Jackie Smith with demands in it and recommendations and demands. It's on michaelsavage.com. Now, you could say, what do I care about that? I care about Obamacare. I do, too. I care about Obamacare, too. I understand what it is. It's socialized medicine. I understand that it's been discovered that Mr. Axelrod, who is the chief of staff for Obama, and certain family members of his, allegedly are going to make millions of dollars from the health care push. Allegedly now. You understand that we can't say that definitively, but even the Associated Press says that Obama's push for national health care overhaul is providing a financial windfall to Democratic consulting firms closely connected to the president and two top advisors, including David Axelrod. Now, of course, if this was Bush and it was Karl Rove, Rove would be history. But I'm not going to talk about that directly. I'm going to talk about this indirectly. Because the very same corruption that exists in this far-left government of Obama exists in the far-left government of Gordon Brown in England. And the very same corruption is being covered up here in the same way that it's being covered up there. I want to read you a few key points. You got to listen to this. You got to hear this. Isn't it the height of insanity that as I fight to have my name taken off a list of murderers and terrorists and to have my freedoms restored in a Western democracy, that a murderer and a terrorist, the madman who was responsible for the Lockerbie bombing and the deaths of over 200 people, is being released by the British government? The government claims that it did so on humanitarian grounds because he is sick. Did this murderer consider humanitarian interest as the bomb which ripped apart the lives of hundreds of families was exploding over the skies of Lockerbie, Scotland? And have you seen the footage of this murderer getting on and off the plane in Scotland? They're shaking his hand as he goes. And when he got off the plane in Libya, he is greeted by waving flags and a hero's welcome for the scum of the earth. The Gordon Brown British government is suicidal. They have sympathy for those who kill their own people and antipathy for those who say protect your own nation. Now, in the memo that the Home Office claims not to have, in one of the memos, the Home Office claims not to have my address. And though they communicate with each other several times and back and forth to the Foreign Office, they never ask them or any other agency to research my address or my syndicator's address, nor any of the stations that I'm on where they could have mailed me a letter, nor do they appear to have done it themselves. This is in spite of the fact that the information is easily obtained with a simple web search, and a mailing address is even posted on michaelsavage.com. It is clear from this that they deliberately avoided informing me so that no action could be taken prior to the ban being put in place. You talk about due process being denied. Where are all the First Amendment lawyers now that I need them? Oh, they're lining up for payment in advance First Amendment lawyers are good for one thing, making sure that pornography is in your house. I'm sick of this. Let me go to break before I say something I really mean.
Savage.
A while ago, I interviewed John O'Sullivan about an article that he wrote about my being banned in Britain entitled Condemned by Their Own Laptops, which I liked so much it is in my new book, Banned in Britain. I want to play it for you again. Listen. I linked to a story on MichaelSavage.com from the New York Post entitled Condemned by Their Own Laptops by John O'Sullivan. He joins us now to talk about this. John O'Sullivan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Great article, because it's about me. But what made you write this article all of a sudden?
Well, when I saw the story, and particularly when I saw the emails from the officials in the Home Office, in which they gave their real reasons for keeping Michael Savage out of the country, I was reminded very strongly of a very well-known and worldwide popular British BBC television sitcom called Yes, Prime Minister. Yes, Prime Minister is a kind of British comic version of The West Wing, and it describes how the way that government is really run. In other words, you have the civil servants who mastermind everything, and the poor old politicians are jerked about and made to look foolish and so on. So you have this clever, manipulative, cunning, Machiavellian civil servant called Sir Humphrey, and you have a decent but hapless Prime Minister called Jim Hacker. And Jim loses about 9 of every 10 battles he has with Sir Humphrey. Prime Minister is manipulated again and again. And Sir Humphrey is a kind of clever, crafty fellow. And the way that those emails were written reminded me of Sir Humphrey. Namely, we've got to keep Michael Savage out of the country. Why is that? Is he a dangerous terrorist? No. The reason is that he's not a dangerous terrorist, because we need to have some people who aren't dangerous terrorists on the list in order to make it plain that we're not biased against dangerous terrorists. We've got too many of them on the banned list already. So this was such a kind of delicious absurdity that I thought, well, I'll write a piece about this, pointing out that it's very similar to the comedy of The West Wing, but it has some very serious side to it, too.
I think Sir Humphrey would never have put that in an email, though.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, one of the things I said was that if there'd been a real Sir Humphrey, one of the old school of mandarins, he would have known not to put on things on paper. There's a famous remark by the Scotch whiskey magnate, Jimmy McMillan, do write and fear no man. Don't write and fear no woman. Well, now it's not women you have to be afraid of. It's the front page of the New York Times, or in this case, the Daily Mail, a conservative paper, which has got a good record of getting its hands on confidential documents from within Labour governments and publishing them to the world, to the great embarrassment of the government.
This does not reflect well on Britain's naming and shaming practice.
Well, the idea behind this naming and shaming is very curious. Obviously, every now and then, a government declares that it doesn't want some people into the country, but technically they become persona non grata. And I think every government has a right to keep out people who might be a danger to the people, keep out foreigners who might be dangerous in one way or another. But in this case, they were looking around for people who weren't trying to come into the country, I gather. You weren't trying to come into Britain. Secondly, they put on the list people who couldn't possibly come into the country, including two Russian skinheads who murdered people and who were serving long jail sentences in Russia, so that even if they wanted to enter Britain, and there's no evidence they do, that they wouldn't be allowed out of prison by the Russians to do so. So why put these people on a list? Why publicize the list? Why embarrass some people by putting their names alongside others as dangerous characters? And the answer to that question is that the government actually wanted to have people on the list who weren't terrorists and who weren't radical extreme Islamists. because they had a group of these on the list, and they thought if they published the list of people who really were dangerous, and many of these, the majority, or almost all of them, turned out to be radical extremist Muslims, it would look as though they were anti-Islam. So they scooped around, looked around for people who might be plausibly attacked. They put them all together on a list, and they then published the whole list, saying, look, we're not biased against Islamist terrorists. We are keeping out other people who are dangerous. But unfortunately for them, they put Michael Savage's name on the list. So the purpose of this was very Machiavellian. It was an attempt to say, look, the world is full of dangerous people, and we've just made a random selection. So there's nothing here that says that suggests that we are biased against any one group or another. However justified that intention may be, the idea of putting perfectly innocent people on a list with a lot of villains and then saying we're keeping them all out is obviously unjust to the innocent people. And, of course, in this case, it produced a law. It's producing a case for slander. And I would think that if the Home Secretary, the official responsible for this, continues and fights that case, it's Jackie Smith, a woman, she was the last Home Secretary, she will be humiliated in court because fundamentally these leaked emails suggest bad faith on the part of the British government, as simple as that.
Do you think that this is a characteristic of the British government?
It's not characteristic of British governments, it seems to me, over the years or anything like that, where the standards of honesty and behavior are, you know, by standards of government, not bad, pretty good. But there's recently been a huge scandal in Britain of a very similar kind. Damien McBride, a Downing Street aide to Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister, was discovered sending scurrilous emails in which he was trying to spread rumors about the sex lives and of leading opposition politicians, leading conservatives, and their families, suggesting that the wife of one prominent conservative had a shameful disease and that kind of thing. Now, immediately this happened, he was disowned. Well, you would expect that. And the Prime Minister said he was shocked and horrified that this had been going on. Again, you'd expect that. But when you add these two cases together, you do get the impression that there is a culture of deceit and slander really at the very heart of the British government at the moment. I don't think it's a permanent thing, and I don't think it particularly comes from civil servants. I think it comes from these temporary civil servants brought in, the political loyalists around Labour ministers who are brought in. And I do think the standards of political morality in the generation of new Labour political operatives who came in 12 years ago and who are still in government, I do think those moral standards are low. And they've begun to infect the civil service as well, the apolitical civil service. And I do think, you know, I think anyone who looks at what's been happening in Britain in recent years has to be worried that the once high standard of political morality, and I don't necessarily know that you'll agree with this, the once high standard of political morality has really declined seriously. And I think that should worry people in Britain and outside.
John O'Sullivan, thank you very much for your article.
Michael, thanks very much indeed. I very much enjoyed being on your show.
That was the John O'Sullivan interview on The Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. The mail goes to the Michael Savage. That's if a check, a money order, cash. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech. Las Vegas, Paul, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, I hate to inform you, but my wife tells me I no longer can listen to you because I assume because as educated as you are, you know that the sugar levels go up when you're a diabetic when you get stressed. And she says, with the traffic around here and listening to you and getting all upset with these idiot callers you got calling in, talking about the Guantanamo Bay getting...
Oh, yes, that Osama bin Laden's friends should have constitutional rights when they don't even understand the constitutional rights do not apply to foreigners who are trying to kill you. They apply to U.S. citizens, not to people trying to take away our U.S. and our citizenship.
Yeah, they're all a bunch of friggin' idiots, but...
Thank you. Well, hold on. You mean what? That's the one that got you upset where you almost had a diabetic, went into diabetic shock?
Yeah, that's basically how it is. My sugar levels get up to about 600 or 700 by the time I get home just because.
Wait, are you in a car right now, Paul?
Yes, sir.
All right, hold on. Play Robert Reich for him. I'm going to do it. Hold on. What's your blood sugar now? Do you have an instant meter?
Yeah, it's sitting at about 400.
All right, is it on your finger right now? Because we're going to play a soundbite for you and see where it goes. Are you ready?
Okay,
No, but we got to play the game. You say your blood sugar's at 400. Now I'm going to play something for you. You got to be honest. You got to tell me where the blood sugar goes up, whether it goes up or down. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
No, is it on the finger now?
Yes, it's. I got to pick. I got to prick it as soon as you start doing it.
Yeah, but how do we know what the rate? Okay, the last time you did it was how long ago?
About 5 minutes ago.
All right, and it was at 5 minutes ago, but that's already when you were angry. It was at 400.
Yeah, I jumped up to 400 because of that.
All right, get ready. When I say three, we're going to fire away Robert Reich, and then you're going to prick your finger, and we're going to get a blood sugar count. And a one, and a two, and a three.
I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers.
All right, what's the reading, Paul?
Well, I'm sitting at 480 right now, and it's going to keep on climbing. That idiot, I have to give you a little sideline, is that I'm a white male construction worker.
I shouldn't have done this then. Now I apologize.
I'm going to jump over 700 or 800. She's going to kill me now.
Oh, my God. Now, how do we get it down? How do we help you get the blood sugar down? Because I don't want to have you have a problem in the car there.
Well, your music is perfect because it brings you back to the days to where...
All right, hold on. Which one of the music pieces can we use to bring down your blood sugar?
The Ding-a-ling song?
All right, hold on. First of all, we're sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Already it went down to 500. Now we're going to play Giddy Up Ding Dong. It'll go back to normal. Play Giddy Up Ding Dong for Paul.
Giddy Up Ding Dong, Giddy Up. My horse was tired and I was too. I had a date with my gal at 8. Come on, ding dong, we can't be late. Giddy up, giddy up, ding dong, giddy up, giddy up, ding dong.
Oh my God, if I don't know. No music, turn it off. My father, I could hear his voice in the car. Turn off the music, no music in the car. You're going to work now. But Dad, I'm not at work. Never mind. Never mind, no music in the car on the way to work. No music. But why, Dad? We're not there. We're only on the Kosciuszko Bridge. No music. You're going to work. Get your mind ready for work.
Savage.
Atlanta, Georgia on WSB. Rick is a Satanist who wants to talk about the supernatural. Rick, welcome to the program.
I heard you mention something about Satanists earlier, and I didn't understand what you were trying to say. Something about Satanists claiming they could give people power or something to that effect?
Well, if you are a Satanist, tell us why you engage in Satanistic activities.
Because I believe that the three main religions of the world, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, I believe they're false religions. I believe that they don't accept people for who they are and what the real desires are.
So the real desires are to hurt others?
No, not, I wouldn't say that. But I would say that definitely for self-defense purposes, that should come into play. And if someone has done something wrong to you, I believe that revenge is perfectly acceptable behavior.
So in other words, you as a Satanist engage in revenge.
If the person has hurt me with the intention, with no other reason but to hurt me, and they deserve punishment, then I would say yes. But that doesn't mean I directly go out and touch them. A Satanist relies on other means to do things like that.
No, I understand how you think. I'm just curious as to why you engage in Satanism.
Well, after looking over religions of the world, that's the one that appealed to me the most. To me, Satan is very honest. To me, the God of other religions are liars. That's the way I see it.
So you find it a positive thing to be a Satanist?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's very practical, very realistic, and it's also very moralistic as well.
It's moralistic to be Satanistic.
I believe so, yes, because you actually look at life as it is and instead of trying to twist it into something that it's not.
But what is life? You say you look at life as it is. What is life to you?
I think life is a struggle. It's a struggle to survive. It's a struggle to maintain independence.
Right. We agree on that. But why do you assume that the religions of the world are false and your way is not false?
Because I believe that the main religions of the world want you to deny your basic impulses, such as sex, or indulging in some kind of pleasure. I think those are normal things that people should be allowed to.
So, in other words, you should indulge all of your impulses?
No, not all of them. I mean,
well, you just said that religion makes you deny your impulses, and therefore they're false. But don't you understand that that's the exact purpose of religion, is to constrain man's more base impulses?
That's the purpose of the main religion of the world. Yes, I agree with that.
You think the world would be a better place if they engage in every one of their impulses? If people engage in all of their impulses, it would be a better world?
No, I didn't say that. What I mean is...
Well, you just said that religion is false because it teaches people to constrain their impulses. So therefore, you're arguing that we should then, let it all hang out? If it feels good, do it?
Well, that's kind of simplifying things, but as long as, I'm not saying you can go out and infringe on other people's rights just because that makes you...
Wait a minute. What about a man who molests a child? He's just letting his impulses hang out. Is that acceptable to Satanists?
No, that's not acceptable. No, not
well, why? Well, why not? By your definition, religions that prohibit that are just out of touch. So therefore, you must be in favor of all impulses being enacted, or are there some that you're not?
No, I don't believe you should engage in an impulse that hurts another person.
An impulse that hurts another person, therefore, is forbidden. So then you're arguing that Satanism has some morality attached to it, or some moral code.
Yes, I do. But
okay, so what is the moral code? Has it been codified anywhere that I could see it? The Western religions, Judaism and Christianity, have the Ten Commandments. Do you have a Ten Commandments of Satanism?
Not really. It's basically, live your life, be an individual, and don't try to change who you are just to please some other person's religion. That's basically what it is.
So if you have an impulse to murder people, that's obviously prohibited as well.
That's prohibited, yes.
But why?
Well, because morally, I don't feel that's correct.
Morally? So where do you get your moral values from? Where do they generate from?
I believe personally that deep down inside, people have their morals. It's already instinctually ingrained. I believe that deep down, people know.
Oh, I don't. I don't think that people have any morals instinctually ingrained at all. I don't think there's any evidence to that. I think you can teach a child to be anything you want that child to be, to a great extent, to a very large percentile. You can take a child and turn that child into a suicide bomber. Take a look at the Palestinian territories. They're training their babies to kill. They have no morality. To them, morality is blowing somebody up. So I disagree entirely. I think the human being is an empty slate.
Well, it's true that a lot of things are imprinted on us as children, but I think deep down innately, even a child will know that it's doing something wrong if it was to,
Yes, a normal child raised by normal parents who have some moral foundation with some moral teaching coming from somewhere will understand right from wrong. However, if you don't teach the child something, how can the child come to know what's right and what's wrong? There are children who are mean-spirited. They'll tear the wings off off flies. They'll kill birds. They'll climb into a bird's nest and break the eggs. They will go out of their way to hurt other children. I've seen them, and they have perfectly fine parents. I believe that there are children who are born who are absolutely monstrous, that they're born evil. And likewise, I believe there's a small percentage of people who are born absolutely good who will never do harm. But by and large, people, I think, are blank slates.
I understand what you're saying, but I still think...
Well, look, we don't have to, hate each other or disagree. I don't think we do, really. It sounds to me like you don't go out of your way to hurt others. Maybe you're hiding it. I don't know.
But I believe that, when it's time to stand up and fight, you should stand up and fight it and not hide to some false morality and claim that some God is going to save you, you need to save yourself when it comes time to do
that. Well, that I understand, but I don't know that it's Satan that's going to save you. I think it's a survival instinct. Well, anyway, Rick, thank you for calling the show. Savage. Former President Bill Clinton's trip to North Korea is being hailed by the left as a huge victory. It is being used as proof that the Obama administration's foreign policy is working and that North Korea will only open up from here. We're not so sure, though. Very few details of the meeting were released, and there hasn't been any real signs that anything has changed. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is Bruce Klinger.
Well, certainly everyone welcomes the release of the two U.S. journalists from North Korea's malevolent clutches. After all, Pyongyang sentencing them to 12 years of hard labor for trespassing into North Korea was really an egregiously disproportionate response. And in that sense, former President Bill Clinton's trip to Pyongyang was to secure their release was a success. And we certainly all hope for the two women's recovery from their ordeal. But we also have to ask, what was the cost of that success? The Obama administration has said all the right things to assert that Clinton's visit was an unofficial humanitarian mission that was firmly separated from the nuclear issue. But despite that, signals were inadvertently sent, and unfortunate precedents may have been established for future negotiations with North Korea. First, Clinton's trip will be perceived as a tacit U.S. acceptance of North Korea's belligerent behavior. It's going to reinforce North Korean perceptions that their strategy of alternating brinksmanship with seemingly conciliatory gestures remains effective. After all, it was only about 4 months ago that North Korea violated U.N. resolutions by testing a long-range missile and also exploding a nuclear device. And now the U.S. has seemingly acquiesced to Pyongyang's demand to send a former president to meet with Kim Jong-il. And Clinton's visit certainly can signal to Iran and Syria and Burma and any other rogue regime that you can disregard the UN and eventually you'll be rewarded. And secondly, the Clinton's trip to Pyongyang will be interpreted as a policy reversal by the Obama administration, namely sort of an abandonment of the hardline policy of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in return for the engagement policy of former President Bill Clinton. And it's going to raise questions as to what other policy changes the Obama administration may implement. Will they accept a North Korea as a nuclear weapons state? Will they agree to a less vigorous enforcement of UN financial sanctions? And third, the visit suggests that the Obama administration is resorting to high-level bilateral dialogue to resolve U.S. concerns. And that's going to come at the expense, or at least the perceived expense, of insisting upon multilateral negotiations to address issues of importance to our allies, South Korea and Japan. And despite U.S. reassurances, the allies are going to remain wary that Washington will diplomatically finesse what were previously sacrosanct preconditions in order to entice Pyongyang back to the negotiating table. Seoul and Tokyo are very nervous about what the U.S. might agree to. Clinton's visit also has led some to say that the release of these journalists marks a change in North Korean direction and attitude and policy.
But we're hearing from the radical leftists that this proves North Korea is open to change now.
There's a growing perception in Washington that the journalists' release reflects a diplomatic breakthrough with the hope of more to come. And this supposed change by North Korea has even led some to call for the Obama administration to make some kind of reciprocal concession and soften the UN's financial sanctions on North Korea. But such a change would be a huge mistake and dangerously ill-advised. The Obama administration must not back away from pursuing the punitive measures against North Korea until Pyongyang abandons the behavior that triggered those sanctions. And the U.S. should augment those international efforts by targeting the other end of the proliferation pipeline, namely those foreign companies, the banks, the governments that are facilitating North Korea's nuclear and missile programs. Iran, Syria certainly come to mind. And I think it's also important to take a step back and look at why North Korea agreed to Clinton's visit. Pyongyang, I think, had four main objectives. The first was it provided an opportunity to show that Kim Jong-il is healthy and he remains in control of the country. Secondly, it signaled that North Korea was willing to continue nuclear negotiations, but only bilaterally with the U.S. At the expense of the six-party talks, and of course, under North Korean conditions. Third, it showed that high-level dialogue was successful, and so Pyongyang may be seeking to lay the groundwork for a future summit meeting with President Obama. And fourth, the regime sought to undermine the effectiveness of the UN sanctions by weakening the international consensus on whether such sanctions were necessary. Certainly, some countries are now going to question why they should pressure North Korea at a time when the U.S. is willing to send a former president to wheel and deal.
Has North Korea changed their objectives?
Pyongyang has not really changed its policy objectives. Instead, it's engaged in a charm offensive. In addition to freeing the two U.S. journalists, just this week, North Korea released a jailed South Korean worker, and they agreed to resume the joint North-South Korean tourist and economic ventures. And in fact, I won't even be surprised in coming weeks or months if Pyongyang were to offer to return to the nuclear negotiations, although, of course, only bilaterally with the U.S. And they would also insist upon renegotiating pre-existing agreements, as they often have done in the past. And in this case, they would demand recognition as a nuclear weapons state. They would abandon the goal of denuclearization, but instead perhaps negotiate away future production capability. And they would also, as they've telegraphed in recent months, they would demand a change to the U.S. hostile policy, as they call it, which is North Korean code for reducing Washington's military force posture in East Asia. Now, these new tactics that North Korea has done in the last 2 weeks, you know, it follows historical North Korean pattern of alternating brinksmanship with seemingly conciliatory gestures, and it's actually been very effective in the past, and it leads to an almost euphoric reaction by North Korea's opponents for simply returning to what had been a previously unacceptable status quo, but that's seen as progress.
What can we expect in the coming months?
Well, as a result of this new charm offensive, this new North Korean outreach, and a temporary abandonment by Pyongyang of provocative behavior, and we'll also probably see claims by some that the sanctions aren't working. So there'll be a growing chorus of voices, again, calling for the U.S. to offer more inducements and to lower the bar for North Korean compliance with the U.N. resolutions. But it really is critical that the Obama administration reject this tired siren song. Success depends on sustaining these extensive international sanctions against North Korea until the aberrant behavior that triggered them is removed. And we can't abandon principles simply for some kind of minor progress in nuclear negotiations. So the Obama administration should also affirm that its objective remains the complete and verifiable denuclearization of North Korea and state unequivocally that Washington will not accept North Korea as a nuclear weapons state. At the same time, the U.S. can offer Pyongyang a path to greater economic development, developmental and diplomatic benefits, but only if certain conditions are met and that reciprocal gestures are made by North Korea and that we really establish transparency through a strong verification protocol. But the concern that I and other Korean experts have is that whether the nuclear negotiations remain frozen or even if they resume and make some kind of glacial progress, that the inherent danger is that North Korea will continue to develop its nuclear weapons and missile delivery capabilities even as the talks are going on.
Thanks for the information, Bruce, and thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.